Hello, one and all, and welcome once again to Valley Studio 12F. I'm sitting here with, welcome to First Thought of the Day. I should probably maybe start with some of that. I'm sitting here with Aaron Ingbrecht. Aaron, is it true that today is your 27th birthday? Is that right?
That's not true.
Okay.
But I'll take it.
Nice. And I'm sitting here with Mallory Eaton, formerly Mallory Brooks.
Yes.
From Alexandria, Indiana.
I identify as Mal Dog now.
That's right.
So I'd like to be formally known as the artist Mal Dog.
You want to know what I think is really interesting? That we live in a community that's very, very, very tight-knit. Very mm-hmm. much a family.
Right.
Like, hey, if you're from here, you stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing this podcast, and the only three people that are on this podcast did not go to this high school.
Not at all.
It's true. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Is that interesting or not? Is there anything there?
I find it to be moderately interesting.
It is.
not worth its
it
time
is moderately.
On air.
Okay.
No, well, I'm just kidding.
No. I do think it's interesting because so many, like the people who are the face
yeah.
of our, like, you know, you think of Steve Moriarty, right? He's the face of Valley football.
Yeah.
He went here.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's that's sort of an idea. No.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that they all have people to go to right now.
that's quite fair.
Yes.
We have absolutely nothing to do with our lives right now. That's
no kids.
Not a thing.
I don't even think I have a kid. So, yeah, we're good.
That's awesome.
Anyway, welcome back. We are going to kind of dive in today. Part two.
Mm-hmm.
Really part one. Actually, if you're really breaking it down, last time was just all the things that we kind of talk about on this, but not the actual topic.
Just setting the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is interesting because I had some people that had, like, I had my wife came and she's like, really? You didn't even talk about it?
Well, thing? I'll take the blame for that because I had to scoot. So we were time crunched. And
yeah, it's Mallory's
yeah,
fault.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Yeah. I can, big shoulders, I can handle it.
But yeah, I don't know. I think it's a really interesting kind of an idea here. There are a few comments. If you guys don't mind, I'd like to
I feel like we're like a TV show. You know how it always stops at like the most interesting part, like, and you're like, no,
cliffhanger.
Yeah, no. That's what we did. Sorry, Susan.
The show 24 was the worst.
Oh, Trey used to love that show.
It would, but they like right at the peak.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you gotta wait till next time.
That's what we did. Take that.
Yeah.
Mm.
We are basically Jack Bauer, is what I'm.
That's what it
both,
is.
Right.
Mm.
So. So I think we have the longest comment of in First Thought of the Day history.
Oh.
Right.
And it did not come, it came from a former student.
Ooh.
Of at least you and I, but maybe all three of us.
Okay.
Right.
So, it's so long, as a matter of fact, that it's a two-parter.
Ooh.
Oh, sit back, all right.
Two-parter comment.
Sit back and enjoy
this
the
This is a
comments.
New one. I'm
yep.
excited.
This is from Miss Mackenzie Murphy. Did you have
a Oh, yeah, right there. There's a picture. I got a banner, for those of you that can't see, in Studio 12F.
I don't know that I actually ever had her in class.
I didn't have her in class, but she was the volleyball manager for a long time. And she watches both of my kids at Akron Church of God. Shout out. And she's amazing.
I know it's not cool to have favorites. But she's on my very short list of all-time faves, student-wise.
All right.
Yeah.
She's a fave. Shout out to Murph. I call her Murph.
All right.
Murph, yeah.
I call her Eminem. So, I'm a toddler teacher. She put that in quotation marks. I'm not real sure what that's about. But anyway, I'm not going to handpick that. I'm a toddler teacher in a daycare setting, primarily 1.5 to 3-year-olds. Helping is something I've struggled with a lot in my profession, especially being an Enneagram 2.
Mm-hmm.
And wired to be a helper. When I first started my job, I would jump at the first sign of struggle, putting on a shoe, breaking up an altercation. I'm assuming putting on someone else's shoe.
Yes,
not her
yeah.
own.
Those kids be wild. And two of them are mine. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the more I've observed and worked with that age group, the more I realize small kids are actually capable of it. We get... okay, let's start that sentence mm-hmm. completely over.
He was getting too excited.
I got lost. I was like, I started that sentence and then I paused on a crosswalk and I was just like looking around and I'm like, I'm going to pick it right up. Okay. But the more I've observed and work with that age group, the more I realize small kids are actually capable of it if we give them tools and allow them to fail in a safe learning environment.
Nice.
Their brains can comprehend so much more than what we adults as a whole give them credit mm-hmm. for. I can usually tell kids who are helped immediately at home versus kids who are guided to help themselves just by how they respond to a given situation.
Yep.
In fact, most of the, in quotation, helping I do daily is really just modeling the way for how they should treat each other and not so much that I think they actually need the help from me.
Yeah. It reminds me of that beautiful phrase, productive struggle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How much are we robbing people of that productive struggle in the learning process if we just help?
Right.
My fingers are up in quotes.
Yeah. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll really am excited.
Yeah.
We have one more comment.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And although that was an amazing comment. That's why
awesome.
I'm so glad she teaches taught my children.
It is so, by the way, just on a small little tangent. Not really a tangent. When I hear intelligent things from a former student of mine, I feel nothing but pride.
Yeah. Makes your heart
and
grow.
Maybe I had a very limited amount to actually do with that.
Sure.
But it's one that I can kind of hang my... So that was an intelligent comment.
That was.
Yeah. This is from my lovely wife. And this is responding to my question about Nike versus Hershey's.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As you've thought about it, do you guys have a take?
So I cheated. I read her comment and I agree with her. Yeah.
Nike or Hershey's?
I think I said Nike.
Yeah,
I know.
Did,
you've had a week to kind of decompress.
Okay. He's hardcore Nike.
Stay with Nike. Okay, so
more of a cultural influence. Mm. I don't know.
Hershey's! Exclamation point. Not everyone has tried on Nike, but I'd say more people have tried Hershey's. Probably not worn it, though.
But that's not the question.
Yeah. Well, I know. I'm just being a smart aleck. Mm. Then she says, s'mores! Another exclamation point.
Right.
Hershey's is in a lot of sweets without us even knowing it. I totally believe that helping can hurt. My thoughts are similar to what Mackenzie said. Can't wait to hear the discussion.
Nice. Cool.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kind of neat.
We got some great fans out there. That's what it is.
Yes.
Great
very
people.
Nice.
Very loyal.
So would you pose the question again and then get us started?
I don't even remember what the original question was, but it had to do with...
I think it's, is there ever a time when helping can actually hurt?
There we go.
Yeah.
I might be wrong. But.
No. We like to help.
Mm-hmm. It's in my nature. I know that.
Yeah. When does helping actually hurt? And there's a book out there, When Helping Hurts. Haven't read it. Come to think of it, I probably should have leading into this. But
would have been a solid idea. Yeah.
I think the book centers around the idea of like America pouring money into places overseas, thinking, oh, that's going to solve the problem.
Right.
And it actually creates more issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's more to the book than that, but
so totally different
you can't just
type.
Throw money at stuff to think that it's
that idea of world politics, like our foreign policy being dictated by economics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly. I mean, you talk about a topic, but I think we're going to keep it at a slightly smaller scale.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, just on a personal level.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your thought?
So I actually love where Mackenzie was going with this because I think about this as a parent and of young children that are in their years. And I think about this as a teacher. So that's kind of where I came at it from. It's so hard, right, to find that perfect balance of like being helpful versus like we need to get out the door right now.
True.
Like,
girl.
True.
And so there are times that I'm sure I do things for them that I probably shouldn't just out of like, we need to leave or whatever.
Right.
But one thing that I always, my husband hates it, but my mom used to say this to me all the time and she'd always say, you'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he can't stand when I say that to him, but it's true. Like she was so great about, well, and we just grew up in a different time. Things were just different, but like she was so great about me and my brothers having that productive struggle. And like, if you really want whatever, you're going to find a way.
Yeah.
And so I really try hard to do that for the girls.
Yeah.
But it's a struggle, you know, because you – and sometimes the girls know, like, I don't want to do this. Maybe mom – like cleaning their rooms, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can clean their rooms because they are very good at trashing them.
Sure.
But we've gone round and round about, no, you're going to do this, not mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just staying, you know,
legit.
Consistent. But, yeah, it's – as a parent especially, I think it's super hard to find that line.
I disagree with no part of anything you just said. As a matter of fact, I'll only take it up a notch.
Okay.
I've got a lot of weaknesses as a teacher, things that I'm just abysmal at. But one thing that I've realized recently is that I overteach. Like when I will kind of like that check for comprehension, check for understanding, and I'll say, hey, do we get it? They'll say, yeah. that means nothing to me, apparently, because I'll just keep going. I will just keep on. And I don't know if that goes back to the whole, what is the one thing all teachers have in common? We have something to say. Mm-hmm. And so I almost wonder if that's just a, ooh, I've got a use for this nugget of wisdom or knowledge or intelligence. I'm going to dump every drop of this out onto them.
Do you understand this? Yeah. Yeah. Shoot, I have an amazing analogy that I still want to share.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably not quite that blatant, but it's right.
Yeah.
It's adjacent to it, at least.
Right.
And I'm the guy who tends to do this. You guys ever overteach?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Well, you've got some students that get it right away.
Yes. Yeah.
And some that don't. And so if you have to revisit it and you happen to revisit it on a massive scale, you're for sure going to overteach to the kids that are just like, okay, we're kind of done with this.
I think mine's a little different just because I started in special ed. And one thing that they really pushed is like you want to provide – like with accommodations, for example.
Sure.
You want to provide enough to make a student successful. But a lot of times in different districts, not here, but I've been in other districts where we overhelp, where we're giving too much help. And then it's like, is that actually doing the student any good?
And right. at what point then in that scenario does helping a struggling student behaviorally, emotionally,
academically,
whatever, at what cost is that to the other students? And at what point does trying to empower that student, but they're a bit of a distraction, they're a bit of a problem.
Sure.
I mean, at what point does that become the issue? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's hard.
I don't know what the answer is. We tend to err on the side, at least in modern education, it seems, we tend to err on the side of trying to get that student where they need to be.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if we're talking, I mean, that's a muddled kind of gray area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, what you're getting at is the idea that if a student doesn't learn something the first time around, they have multiple opportunities to prove that they can learn that.
Yeah.
Sure.
That is kind of a highly debatable area.
Talk to me. What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, we are aware of this.
Can we?
But others listening may not
be. That's what I mean by that.
So you take a test over a certain standard that you really hit hard in a unit.
Mm-hmm. Student, by the way, when he's saying this, we grew up in an era where this is the kind of thing that at least I did not get.
Right. Correct.
Right.
Me neither.
Like, and I would not have had a teacher that would have used the word standard.
Sure.
Benchmark.
Yeah.
Or even multiple attempts.
Assessment, multiple attempts.
Yeah, that was not a thing.
We got a test over the, I don't know why.
Yeah.
I make everybody
sound. People from Richmond, they sound like they're from Kentucky?
Apparently they
sound pretty
like,
close.
Okay.
They're from Mississippi. No, but that idea of when they do that, that's what we grew up with, right? We
correct.
Did not, you got one shot
test,
this, the end.
Yep.
You bomb it, you're done.
Yeah.
And there's a big push to allow kids, hey, they didn't show that they learned the standard or whatever the content was that they were supposed to learn.
Sure.
Let's reteach it until we get them to learn the essential standard. Like they have to know this in order to move on. And it's tricky because you'll have kids that are working hard to get that, and you've got a lot of kids that aren't.
Right.
And we know that, and they're kind of just playing the game. And it's tricky. It's honestly really hard to know. It's my job to take them where they're at and get them to where they need to be.
And of course,
my goodness, if I could just.
Yeah. That idea, though, of playing the game, I mean, I'm going to go. The way they may be playing the game and kind of out of a sense of insecurity.
Sure,
out of
absolutely.
A sense of I legitimately don't understand this, and I don't have the social skills to explain to my teacher. So I'm going to act up and be a problem and get kicked out of class, which gives me another excuse not to have to do. I mean,
there you go.
All of those things are potential. Now, again, not 100%.
Right.
We know that as well, but
sure.
That's also something that's in the stew pot of this idea.
Let's go bigger scale. Let's go outside the school, outside the classroom.
Extraterrestrials.
There we go.
Go.
No, I'm talking about like student loans. So there was a survey or a poll done where they asked people if they felt like the student loan forgiveness was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't worded exactly like that, but that's kind of the summary. Is this a good idea?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And you know, X amount of people said, no, it's not a good idea. Then they asked people, if you had college debt that would be forgiven, would you take, like, would you accept that forgiveness? Mm-hmm. And more people said yes, like it skewed, they didn't agree with the policy.
But like, if they were in
they
the
felt pot, like yeah. probably help that helping mm-hmm. hurt, or they hadn't earned, you know, people hadn't, but if all of a sudden if they had skin in the game, they'd be willing to take the money.
But that's the truth in so many things. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I hear all the time, like, the older generation, like, well, I worked two jobs and paid for my college. And it was like, yeah, because a house costs, like, you know.
A nickel,
no. basically. And now,
King
you know.
Size candy bar.
Right. And it's like you know, you look at inflation, how the world's changed. It's like, you can't compare. Unless it's happening to you with the majority of things, it's so hard to say.
Yeah. It's tricky. Like, I even think about, like, paid time off. Mm-hmm. In a lot of European countries, a woman has a baby, she may actually, in certain countries, get a year mm-hmm. off. Paid time off.
Sure. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
If I'm the business, that's a nightmare.
Yeah.
So, like, there's kind of two perspectives. I shouldn't say it's a nightmare, but it could be, like, potentially really difficult. Right. And
it could be rough.
And financially binding.
Yeah.
So I understand both sides of it. If I have a kid, yeah, I would absolutely love to have that paid time off. Mm-hmm. If I'm a business owner, I have to deal with that all the time.
Even just a handful of years ago, right, we all were in the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
and they started sending checks out to every family.
Yep.
And some families were not impacted financially very much at all.
Right.
Some were impacted drastically on a pretty dramatic scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't seem to matter. Everybody got a check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I I get it. Like if I was really financially successful, well off, everybody's getting a $600 check. Well, where's mine?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's not for me that they're sending this money. You know, I don't know. That's your macro too.
Yeah.
Here's another one that I wrestle with, and we don't have to get into the politics of it.
Extraterrestrials.
It's just all... They do not get a $600 check.
Yeah.
I will fight about that.
That's
one.
True.
And
they don't even believe in money.
I don't know what it's called. I should have looked it up.
And this is called a podcast of should-haves.
Mm-hmm.
Should have read a book. Should have done a little bit of
the life lesson.
The places you see this more of in an urban setting. The place where somebody who's an addict can go to use in a safe environment.
Yeah. And they give free Narcan.
Yeah.
Insulin is not free.
Like, that's a tough one for me because it's like, man, I see why that would be set up like that. But also, like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is helping hurting there? I don't know.
It is really, it's a sign of legitimate intelligence to be able to hold two competing theories, two competing ideas in your head at the same time.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
Right, helping is super great. Is it hurting? Oh boy, right? And we're doing that, but here's the difference. As a teacher, we're doing it in real time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're doing it pretty much every second of every day,
constantly.
Always.
Yes.
So yeah, what are some other questions that you had for us?
I wanted to know if you guys had any specific stories where that stood out to you as like, man, this person totally took advantage of my help, or like you took advantage of somebody else's help.
Hmm.
To put you on the spot.
Yeah, I don't. I do know that maybe this is answering your question. But I've had students in the past that have felt that my room or my presence was a safe space and mm-hmm. they could come and kind of pour out and share, which I always feel honored. I mm-hmm. legitimately do. I can't believe that somebody actually thinks that I'm worth saying their things to, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that sometimes there have been people that have just wanted to get out of doing something that have come to me. I need help today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, but don't you have two tests? I just can't, right? Mm-hmm. And it's
there we go.
Is that kind of what you're thinking?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here to help. But now you're starting to take advantage of that help
right.
to use it as an out somewhere else.
Yeah, and then someone else is losing that opportunity.
Yes.
How do we say that without causing harm?
Yeah.
Like let's say it's you. Let's say it's you, and you're, you know, you're not as emotionally strong as you are. You're not, you're a little bit more fragile, and you recognize.
I'm very fragile.
Fragile.
But you've recognized that, and you've come to me for whatever reason. Hey, there's Mr. Walker. Let's talk to him. I can't talk to you, Mr. Engbrecht. You are
wasting my time.
You are taking advantage of me.
Yeah.
There is no one on planet Earth that you can say that to.
Yeah.
That would say, you know what? You're right. I really am. Mm-hmm. How can we communicate that to people?
I wonder if you just say, what do you need to be doing right now?
Yeah. Well, I ask sometimes because I have kids. You know, I have kids. Kind of the same thing that they trust me and they're wanting to avoid something else. And I'm like, hey, where are you supposed to be right now? Oh, well, and honestly, most kids are honest. Well, I just didn't want to go back to wherever. And well, I'm like, I'm so happy to see you, but sure. I got to go. And usually I'll make up an excuse for me. Like I have to go.
I got to roll you.
Do, you know, help this person or go do this thing.
Sure.
I feel like that Band-Aid's a little easier to take off.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't know. Well, I have had kids that I've sat down with one-on-one and been like, I'm seeing some avoidance behaviors, right? Like I'm seeing...
Really?
Like I said, I taught special ed in the beginning of my career, and we'd sit down and I'd be like, hey, you know, nicest kid ever, but I notice, you know, during math, you always need something or have to go somewhere or want to come talk to me. And I love talking to you, but why are we doing this all the time?
I do wish that there was a way to say that kindly.
I know.
Without, because I feel like every time I've approached that, I look back later and say, well, I did that the exact opposite way. You know, I did that not how it's supposed to be. Like there's a playbook or something. Mm, there is none. But I would love to be able to call people out on that, but it just isn't feasible that I can see.
Yeah, I don't know what the
So if any listeners out there has, if anybody has
please
a
give
magic
it to us.
Bullet kind of a trick on that, please call us.
One of the things that I like to tell people is if I want them to do something, sometimes I'll say, I don't want you to do this. I do, but that's not my goal here. I want you to want to do this.
Yeah.
Like I want you to take it upon yourself to be motivated, a little self-motivation to do whatever needs to get done. I don't want you to simply do it because I'm asking you to. I mean, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, and that's going to dovetail into my next discussion topic, whenever that is, maybe in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But it's about leadership.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's about that kind of an idea of how do you get people to follow you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, if I have to tell you to do something, I'm not leading. Mm-hmm. You're just complying.
Right.
Correct.
But if I can get you to want to do something that you don't want to do originally,
mm-hmm.
I'm leading somehow. And I'm interested in how that happens. The magic, kind of the juice that goes into that.
That is cool. And to master that, because that's hard, like in all different settings.
Truly.
So you just made me think of something, and this does not apply to my life, but I was just thinking, like, I have a wonderful mother and father-in-law and all the things, but I was just thinking, I have friends that, like, their in-laws are too helpful. I had air quotes there.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean? So I was just sitting here thinking, like, that's a whole other realm. Like, thank God I don't have to deal with that. But, like, when you have a person in your life that, you know, it's a meaningful relationship, and now they're, whether it's your child or maybe your classroom, like, I even think a student teacher, but when they're too helpful, how do you intervene there?
Oh, my golly, yeah.
Because that's even harder than talking to a student.
I just remembered another story, actually.
Yeah?
I've got one, too.
I don't know what this was on, but it was about parents helping their kids, or at least they thought they were helping. And it was a story of a dad who left work to bring a water bottle to his daughter at school because she didn't want to drink the water at the school. And so he left work, got a water bottle, took it to school, and it's like, yeah, but I don't think that's helping.
Yeah.
That kid's got to learn to figure out life
yes.
without a water bottle.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen that same thing. One school posted a sign that, because someone would bring in homework. Oh, I forgot my homework at home. They literally posted a sign that was like, if you are bringing homework, blah, 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 turn around. And I'm like, that's amazing. Like, that's cool. But that's the same kind of idea.
So I have a friend. This is not me.
Okay.
By the way.
His name is Riss Crocker.
His name is Milos.
Milos.
But so my friend Milos has a neighbor, okay, who has a lot of leaves in Milos's neighbor's yard.
Oh, I can see where this is going.
Lots of layers here.
Yeah.
A lot of layers.
Where are the leaves?
Layers of leaves.
So my friend Milos has a... No, that's not the person's name. But got a neighbor, and person is... Doesn't ever rake their yard.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Asked me, is it wrong for me to go to their yard and rake their yard for them? Now, the reason this person wanted to do it was in no way to be helpful. It was to prevent all the other neighbors from having leaves in their yard.
Mm. Yeah.
To take care of the problem at its root.
Which is helpful.
Yeah.
But this friend of mine is really worried that if they go over and actually rake this person's yard, that person's going to come out.
They're going to expect it.
And it's going to be a legitimate problem.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, it's going to be a confrontation. And it's difficult to, because, I mean, I guess he's technically trespassing.
Correct.
Right.
But he's doing it in a helpful way, and this person has not done anything in 6 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What thoughts?
No.
Well, we have, so you just made me think of another one. There's a person around our area that, for different reasons, they don't mow their yard. Okay.
Yeah.
Not all my neighbors are wonderful, but this particular person. And so the other neighbors of that person do go and mow the yard.
Oh, cool.
And I'm like, cool. But when I talk to those people that mow the yard, there is no thank you. There is no anything. And so they just started expecting it. And if they don't, then the grass is like, you know. So it's like, on the other side of things, you're not even going to show gratitude for someone that's doing this out of their own will.
Were they asked to, though? I mean, like, if it's...
I don't know all of that. But still, like, the whole thing. Yeah. But then it became, like, an expectation.
What were you going to say about the leaf raking?
I don't think he should go over just and rake. Now, if he goes and asks, hey, can I rake your yard? That's on him.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask, is the person elderly? Because in that case, like... Then that is super helpful.
I have a neighbor who's elderly and shovels sidewalk a lot, but sometimes they just get out their little snowplow and shovel mine too.
Sure.
I've
just got the best neighbors planet Earth. I really do.
So I've lived in the house that I live in for, I don't know, 8 or 9 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. I have not shoveled my sidewalk a single time.
Wow.
I'm on a corner, so I've got double the sidewalk. Mm-hmm.
And can we guess as to why?
I've got a neighbor.
Because you're lazy.
I'll shovel the driveway.
Yeah.
I actually don't mind shoveling my sidewalk.
Yeah.
But I've got a neighbor, Kim Hostetler. I know you will never listen to this, Kim, but he's an awesome guy. He's retired.
Did he steal your video game too?
No.
Okay.
He gets out in his snowsuit and he does the whole neighborhood in his little, plow thing. And
that's impressive.
He loves it. He just goes up and down the sidewalks.
Yeah.
And he'll have icicles hanging from his beard and his mustache.
I can see that bringing me a great deal of joy.
Yeah.
Doing that when I'm older.
My kids will go to the window and woo-hoo! Pound on the window and start cheering for him. And we take hot chocolate and other stuff over to him.
That's cool.
Throughout the winter.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
But that's because he brings him joy. Like,
it doesn't affect him at all.
Right.
Like, there's not going to be snow all of a sudden gushing from my sidewalk to his. Mm. He doesn't even walk on my sidewalk.
He didn't care.
Right. No.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's safe to say we were pretty all over the place today.
Yeah. That's kind of how we work. Yeah.
But that is kind of the beauty of our,
of
our podcast here. And we do love hearing from you guys. So out there, send us an email at...
FTOTDpodcast@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Or, you can hear us on Spotify, Apple Music, Podbean.
I think they know where to find us. They're listening, so.
Hopefully.
Yeah, but if they
actually, I had a student I was talking about coming here, and he was like, you have a podcast? I'm like, where have you been?
Okay.
Yes, I'll send you the link.
All right, let me throw this at you before we leave. I, again, one of my many failings as a teacher, am tremendously bad at self-promotion.
Yeah.
I'm bad at, like, hey, look at how super I am, or what. I'm bad at that.
Yeah.
And it's not like you guys are not humble, because you are. You're very humble people. But you're better at
the humblest.
But you're very good at promoting what you need to promote.
Yeah.
How can we promote this podcast? Because I think kids might kind of dig it.
We got to get some swag.
And I think it'd be great to have some student guests.
Yeah.
We can, depending on the topic, that might be. Because, okay, for example, really quick, all the cell phone stuff. We're reaching out. Our administration is reaching out and asking kids.
Excellent.
Why not have a topic that we can hear from a kiddo? Cool. Yeah.
So stay tuned for that, because I think there's some real juice with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any other ideas of how to?
I like it. Bring in the kiddos.
Yeah.
Well, print up some swag. Get out some t-shirts.
We need the merch. I know a guy.
We need something, because I think what we're doing here is kind of fun, and I do think the kids would kind of dig it.
Yeah.
But we are. I'm not good at
dig it.
Yeah.
I know. I'm living in 1964. Yes.
Oh my God.
Okay. Anyway, thanks for listening to us, and we will catch you next week on First Thought of the Day.